Today's flight is the result of more than a decade of quiet but intense effort by the Chinese government. China now joins the United States and Russia as the world's third spacefaring nation. Even so, the activity has not stimulated much excitement here in the United States. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
China's first human spaceflight has garnered relatively little public attention in the United States, and it has stirred little visible response from Capitol Hill or the White House. Roger Hanberg, a political scientist at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, has a simple explanation for this. China isn't courting our attention.
They're playing to a different audience than just the Americans. The Americans always assume we're the ones everyone's trying to impress, but in this sense, I don't think they are.
Hanberg has been studying the Chinese space program. He says the real audience for this flight is first within China itself and second elsewhere in Asia. Hanberg says many of China's most important rivals are its neighbors. India, for one, has been thinking about sending people into space.
Think about Japan. Japan has never done it. This place moves them ahead in kind of the pecking order of perceived power.
China is also thinking about Russia. Everett Dolman, a professor at the U.S. Air Force School of Advanced Air and Space Studies, says China could overtake Russia in a decade or so as a space power. China also wants to build its reputation as a technological powerhouse. At first glance, it's not apparent how it can achieve that, considering the spaceship it launched. Dolman says outwardly it is based on Soviet space capsule technology that dates back to the 1960s.
But it will have much more sophisticated energy collection, computer capacities on board. So don't let looks be too deceiving.
Dolman, who is editor of the journal Astropolitics, says China wants to build a technology base to expand its high-end industries, but there are other reasons as well.
The manned space program is simply part of a larger comprehensive program to gain some sort of military capacity.
China already has some imaging satellites in orbit. Dolman says the military could also want military communication satellites, like the ones the U.S. forces use to coordinate the Gulf War.
So space offers them a lot militarily that the manned space program is simply a part of a very comprehensive overall program.
This human flight is to be the first of many. Officials have outlined plans that will include rendezvous in orbit and the construction of a space station. Roger Hanberg says that the Chinese space capsule is also outfitted with a docking port that would allow it to visit the International Space Station. Hanberg says before that happens, there are diplomatic issues to resolve involving charges of Chinese espionage at the U.S. weapons labs.
But I think eventually the International Space Station, there will be a Chinese participation.
Of course, the Chinese government needs to keep selling this expensive program to its own people. To that end, officials have already claimed to have developed new strains of rice using research with unmanned rockets. U.S. biologists find that assertion far-fetched, but Hanberg says selling space to the public is a familiar refrain.
Well, we did the same thing back in the 60s. I mean, we tried to make Tang. I mean, if you ever drank Tang, you're trying to think, why would you want it? But, you know, we talked about all those spinoffs because you're trying to make back this, you know, this is not just a bunch of us playing with our toys. You know, we are serious about providing, you know, benefits to the society for all the money we're getting.
The most immediate benefits for China's human space program may be largely intangible, boosting national pride, prestige, and sparking the imagination of school children. Same goes for the United States human space program. Richard Harris, NPR News.